Well, welcome back to another series of open line calls here on Thanksgiving night into Friday morning, right here on Coast to Coast AM. We're going to take all your calls. Those of you who've been on hold, just hang with us, and I'll get you when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. Open lines for you, and let's go to Stockton, California. Cedric is with us on the wild card line. Hi, Cedric.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. Good, thank you.
It's crazy right now. When did November get a giant one day that starts at Thanksgiving and keeps going for like just all the stores are open for one whole like cluster day? I mean, it was bad enough when it was Hollow Thanksmas, and now you've got this. You had the lady speaking about the Mothman earlier,
yeah,
and then you mentioned the Jersey Devil. I know you're going to know this, but a lot of the other listeners don't. One of the fascinating things about the Jersey Devil is, you know, unlike Bigfoot, who, you know, while he's been seen a lot, it's been by small groups. The Jersey Devil was actually seen by massive groups at a time. The two big incidents was there was one time the little guy landed on the roof, and they actually called the mayor, and they called a whole bunch of other like emergency workers, including fire departments, and they tried to get him down, and it actually attacked people. And the second one was there was a cargo train that also had passengers in it, and it was flying parallel to the train and actually attacking it, and the armed sentries started firing at it, and it slammed into the train before leaving. It just, no other cryptid I've heard has been seen in mass at a time, unlike, you know, everyone on Nessie that's been seen by, you know, small clusters of people.
Right. And this, the Jersey Devil stories seem to have faded away, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. It was, there was the one time that, like, 2 years he was seen almost every other day, and then just disappeared. So it makes me just really curious about what happened there.
Yeah, that's a good point. Cedric, thanks for the call. Look, this is a huge planet and a massive universe, and all kinds of strange things happen. We, you know what, we have not even hit the tip of the iceberg in terms of knowledge and what's out there. That's, you know what, that's one of the things that fuels this program and just keeps it so fascinating, trying to get the answers to these questions, the questions we all have every day. I mean, just, you know, a couple days ago, I was talking to a scientist about the Big Bang Theory, a theory I still don't grasp or understand. And, you know, when they talk about how this universe was formed out of nothingness, I just don't get it. I just can't understand that. You know, and they talk about, of course, time and space and how that was created. I just don't get it. Let's go to Artie in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Welcome to the show. Hello, Artie.
Hey, George. How are you this evening?
Good, Artie. Thank you.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, by the way.
You too. You too. Hope you had a good one. Huh?
I listen to this show all the time, really. I've been listening since early 90s, but way back in the Art Bell days. I just had a couple of questions for you. Are you still there?
I sure am.
First, I guess, I was wondering if... you felt like a mushroom, the way the U.S. government's been trying to turn us all into mushrooms by keeping us in the dark and feeding us crap that they're feeding us.
Yeah, sometimes you feel.
And I guess secondly, I never did know what your stance was on 9/11. Do you believe in?
Well, what I've said on 9/11, Artie, is that I believe that there were some people within government who were very well aware of what might have been going on, and it's also very conceivable that some black ops program might have gotten involved with the bin Laden and pushed it and nurtured it and everything else. I don't think the government as a whole had anything to do with it, but I do think there was a faction of government that did. Much like the Kennedy assassination. I don't think government went out and assassinated him, but I think some people part of government did. And I'll always believe that. You know, there's no question that those crazed fundamentalists in some form or fashion were part of it. They hated us. But there was something else going on. It was just too strange. So, you know, that's my take on it. And I've publicly have said that before. And, you know, a lot of people like our dear friend Alex Jones will admit that that's probably the conceivable theory here. Let's go next to another John. This is in Tulsa, Oklahoma again. Hey, John, go ahead. First, I got to hit the button. There you go. Thank you,
John. And while we're at it, happy Hanukkah to our Jewish friends.
That's right. That's right. It's that time of year.
Somebody told me that Hanukkah and Thanksgiving only come together very rarely, and it won't happen for like another 80,000 years or something.
Really?
That's what I had heard. I don't know how true it is, but that'd be something to look into.
Okay.
I was wanting to speak about the gratitude. Something that I've done for a number of years, I try not to pray for things for myself, but I pray and give thanks. And it doesn't matter if it's, you know, if you break your leg, give thanks. If you're going through hard times, still give thanks, because even though you can't see it at the time, you'll come out of it and you'll come out of it stronger, and it adds something to you. So, like I said, even though you can't see it at the time, it's I always give thanks, even for the hard times and for maladies or whatever.
And it works for you.
Reason for thanks regardless.
Yeah, well, that's a good attitude to take, and it seems like it works for you, doesn't it?
Well, I've maintained a decent-paying job for quite a few years that has allowed us to help other relatives that are elderly and need help.
Good for you.
And I'm not getting wealthy myself, but well.
You know what? But you're happy doing what you're doing, and you know.
But we do what we need to do, and we do what we can.
Yep, absolutely, John. Good for you, and you have a Merry Christmas too as well. Let's go to west of the Rockies, Gray Wolf in Portland, Oregon's with us. Howdy, how are you, Gray Wolf?
Hi, Mr. Norrie. It's been a long time. I wanted to finish the story I started when I met you in Portland, Oregon at your book signing.
Oh, that was years ago. Sure thing. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm the gentleman in the wheelchair that was telling you a story about how I lost my fingers and 30% of my skin and my legs below my knees, and I had
yes.
the worst case of meningococcal meningioxemia and meningitis they ever seen anybody live through. I died four times. I spent a year and a half in the hospital. I was in a coma for 4.5 months, and I had 109.7 temperature of my skin, and my brain literally boiled. My skin turned black as the sole of someone's shoes.
Jeez.
After I woke up out of a 4.5 month coma, I found out my fiance Alex was murdered in Forest Park. She was the fifth and final victim. My whole life has been cursed, and I've had a lot of different things that's happened to me in my life. And one of the stories I always wanted to share with you is when I was a kid, about 8 years old, up in Washington, excuse me.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
It was Thanksgiving. All this stuff, this is 15 years to the day that I got put in a wheelchair on Thanksgiving. And I don't know if it was, it was when I was 17, I'm 32 now. I don't know if it was from the vaccine or it was from the planes that were spraying stuff in the atmosphere. They were camouflaged big planes, military planes. And I remember there was 63 cases in Vancouver, Washington, and there was 26 cases, I believe, in Portland, Oregon, at the same time that I had it.
Huh.
And you guys were talking about chemtrails the other night,
yeah.
And I was thinking, just off topic, I was thinking that maybe the chemtrails are preparing the atmosphere for maybe the Anunnakis if they come back. You know, maybe they need some special air to breathe or something, you know. That was just a thought. But when I was 8 years old, on Thanksgiving Day, everything bad happens to me. I'm cursed. Well,
it's just bad.
Well,
why do you think this happens to you?
I don't know. I have no idea. I wish that, you know, if there was a possibility for someone, you know, group or the audience to pray for me to lift this curse off of me, that would be great, because it's just everything on Thanksgiving. I mean, my sister died on Thanksgiving. My grandfather died and my best friend died 3 days later. I got put in a wheelchair. My dad had a heart attack. I got in my first car accident. And then when I was 8 years old, I fell asleep after dinner on my grandma and grandpa's couch. At that night, I had this weird dream that I was laying on this table and there's these lights around me, but there wasn't no light bulb. And there's these figures around me, but I couldn't see them very clear because I was like in a haze. And I just went back to sleep. And when I woke up, I was in a bed. And it wasn't my bed and it wasn't my house. And I was down the street from my grandma and grandpa's house. And the neighbor kid was laying on my grandma and grandpa's couch where I was laying. And we both looked pretty similar. I don't know how to explain that, but he had the same dream that I had.
That's strange. When Thanksgiving comes around every year, do you anticipate something bad happening?
I hate to say it, but I do, yes. But this Thanksgiving has been great. I got to talk to one of my favorite people in the world, and that's you. So,
well, my friend, we're going to put you on the prayer list, okay? And let's see what happens.
Hey, George, you're doing a great job, and I hope that you keep up the great work, well, man. I look forward to hearing your voice every night. I'm having a hard time, you know, struggling out here.
That's what we're here for, Gray Wolf. We're here for you for that. That's one of the reasons why, you know, most talk show hosts, I'm not doing this to brag, but well, they take their time off to be with their families, and you know what? That's good. But, you know, when I came in here 11 years ago, we'll be in January, you know, we came in with a specific thing to do for people on holidays, a live program, and, you know, that's what we're going to do, and we're always going to do it. And we just signed, as I mentioned, a very long-term deal with the network that will take us out to, I think, very close to when a man or a woman goes to Mars. It's going to be a long, long time. Might as well keep going. Let's go to Josh in Dallas, Texas. Hey, Josh, welcome to the program.
Hi there, George.
Hi.
I'm a big fan of the show. Actually, this is my first time calling. I wanted to ask, I heard earlier you were talking to one of the guests, and he was asking about, dreams, some kind of projection. And you said something about multiverse theory.
Yes.
And that's something I'm particularly interested in. And I was just curious, what kind of your view on that was. Cause I know that even some of the real academic philosophers, talk about the, you know, the possible worlds and actualized worlds and, you know, these multiverses. But I was just wondering what insight you had in that regard.
Up until I started doing this program, Josh, you know, the thought of more than one universe didn't even enter my mind. Now it does. And to think about these possibilities, as these scientists and physicists have explained, that they're like bubbles all connected to each other. But it's just mind-boggling to think that there could be hundreds, thousands, who knows how many different universes out there. It's just weird. I'm having a difficult time trying to figure out what our universe is, let alone the multiverses.
Oh, yeah. It's wild, for sure.
I mean, everything is. I mean, life itself is so strange. And I really think, without being very spiritual here, that you have to come back to think of that when you're trying to deal with all these questions, because nothing else gives you the answer, you know, other than, you know, we're here to be spiritual beings, to be good with one another and to reach those levels of perfection. And that's why we have reincarnation and everything else, because when you come back, you're not perfect yet. Jeff in Canada, International Line. Hey, Jeff, go ahead.
Thank you very much, George. I didn't get a chance to get on last night, but I wanted to let you know that with regards to chemtrails, one of our MPs in Ottawa in the federal government has put forward what is called a private member's bill. Now, they usually die on the order paper, but He has called for the federal government to give accounting as to why there are chemtrails and what the chemical composition of them are.
I like that. You think it's got some teeth?
Well, at least it's informative and bringing to the attention of the people of Canada that the fact that there are chemtrails, and he's holding, you know, our federal government accountable. Now, whether or not it's going to have legs, and because it has to go through the order paper, have two readings, and then be voted on, and then get what is called royal assent. Usually it does not happen because it's a private member's bill as opposed to something being presented by the government. However, we hope that it will see the light of day and it will become a law and we will be informed. But in the same note, I wanted to let you know that we found out through Snowden's leaks that your NSA during the G20 conference that was here in Toronto 2 years ago, that the NSA was granted permission by our government to eavesdrop on all the attendees and their subsequent supporters through all their electronic devices, and that they used your embassy in Ottawa as the major listening post. And this is as a result of Snowden's revelations. And it just came to light the other day, yesterday, in fact. And so now our government is being held accountable by the opposition as to why they would allow a foreign espionage, the CIA, being allowed to operate in Canada and to be eavesdropping on all the delegates who were here.
Why would they let them do that?
Well, this is the question. You know, and it seems to be the dirty little secret because we have such a tremendous relationship with the United States and biggest trading partner, and the association goes on and on and on, that it was just one of those nudge nudge wink wink say no more and full steam ahead. And it's just the violation of the sovereignty is just palpable, and the fact that it would allow things, you know, look what how aggravated Merkel was to find out that her cell phone was being bugged.
Oh yeah, you know? And she should.
So anyway, it's a really really terrible thing to find out that your government is participating in this kind of clandestine espionage against other world leaders. You know, the lack of respect, I think, is regrettable. There was a meteor that crashed to Earth in the eastern Ontario last night, complete with a sonic boom. So now they're looking for that. And so anyway, I just wanted to give you those little updates, George. And happy Thanksgiving to everybody. I turned 60 on Tuesday, and I used to go down to Orrville, Ohio, Schmucker's Jam.
Great jam place. And by the way, Jeff, I got to take this break, but happy birthday to you. I'm coming back with final open lines on Coast to Coast AM. Well, like I mentioned, I'll be traveling back to L.A. over the weekend. So John B. Wells will be sitting in for me tomorrow. Thank you, John. And it's time, though, for our traditional shout-out, because I won't be here Friday. Thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. Those of you listening to your favorite radio stations all across North America, Coast Insiders, thank you. And then, of course, those listening to us on Sirius XM Indie Channel 104. And how about the rest of those groups? Imaginative Worlds, Into Infinity, the National Radio Club, Sorcery IRC. And then we've got the groups that still follow us on MySpace and our Facebook and Twitter followers as well. Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group, Above Top Secret, the SoCal UFO Meetup Group, Kane Hodder and those folks at the Hollywood Ghost Hunters, and our buddy Greg the Cook in St. Louis. Thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast. It's our final segment here of Open Lines. Let's go to Tom in Las Vegas. Hey, Thomas, welcome to
the
show.
Hey, George.
How are you?
Hey, doing good. Hey, on the comet deal with Dr. Stephen Cates.
Yes.
Hey, you said that he won because it didn't survive, right? And now we hear that actually part of it did survive, but it don't have a tail. Saturday morning, I've been watching comets for 40 years, Saturday morning is what happened. It, a lot of it boiled off. You know, they talk about a comet being a dirty snowball.
That's right.
The snowball evaporated and the dirt is left. But as it gets away from the solar wind, the tail is going to come back. It's going to be a smaller, it's actually going to have two tails, and they're going to be very small, and it's going to be very dim, but it's still going to be a comet, and it's still going to have a tail, but you're going to have to look at it through binoculars. It won't be the comet of the century. And so it kind of goes in between, and I think, in a way, you and Stephen both win, and in a way, you both lose. And basically, I was trying to tell Tommy, I think you're both going to wind up donating telescopes because you're both half right and you're both half wrong.
You know, we might as well do that. Thanks, Tom. That's,
okay, I just wanted to be the first one to come up with that idea that, you know, you both had good points and you both win, and but you got to see the other guy's point.
Yep, no checkmate there.
Right on, right on. But, hey, Saturday morning, you know, like Richard Hoagland said, you know, that it's just kind of outgassing and blowing gas out and everything. And basically the filters that they're looking at it, they can't see the tail. It's too close to the bright light. So as it gets away, I texted a buddy of mine that's stationed over in Germany, and they said that they did see it this morning right at sunrise, but it was so close to the sun that, you know, they had to use filters. But he said tomorrow morning at sunrise, you will see the tails.
Okay, that's interesting. Tommy, thanks. I'm glad you had a good Thanksgiving as well. And the other Tommy back in Los Angeles, I do believe you have a text question for us, Tom.
We do. What made you think that the comet was going to disintegrate?
I just had a turned on that speaker, by the way.
Just curious.
Tommy?
Yes.
Turn the speaker down. I'm hearing myself come back.
How's that?
Good. Much better.
Better.
Yeah, I caught you, didn't I?
You there's a lot of buttons here.
So, I don't know. I just had a feeling that, you know, as it got close to the sun, it was going to crumble away or melt away, and it did. Now, the fact that, you know, the body size of it is still around, maybe, you know, that's well and good, but it did disintegrate.
This will be interesting in the next couple of days. So Sue in Pennsylvania says, George, today was a great holiday for me. I was wondering if you have a favorite holiday and how you celebrate it.
I love the period of Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas into New Year's. Those four events, to me, are just an enlightening last quarter. You know, as you know, Tom, we work our tails off on events and traveling and everything 9 to 10 months out of the year. And then the last couple months, you know, we concentrate on just coast to coast as much as we can and a little bit of beyond belief. But that's a great, it's a great season for me. It always has been. And, you know, it's festive. And, you know, no matter what happens to you in terms of finances and stuff, you got to take some time and enjoy yourself during that time period.
I couldn't say it better. I agree with you totally.
All right. See you later. And I'll see you back in L.A. Very soon.
Okay.
Let's go to Wayne in Halifax, Pennsylvania, east of the Rockies. Wayne, thanks for the program, and thanks for calling.
Yeah. Something happened there when you were talking to me, like I was cut off. And I want to thank you for what you mentioned about the cancer and stuff. So I just didn't know what to do about that. But I got another two comments. This summer, you know, that flying saucers, you know, like the V-shape in Los Angeles. Every day, every night, they come across the mountain a little slow in a V shape. And it's like an impulse, you know, come from south to north every night for about 3 weeks. And it was exactly like the one that was out in California.
I wonder if they're ours. What do you think? Man-made?
I think it's come from government taking pictures.
Yeah, it's our stuff. I think so too. Yeah. Whenever you see this one, what?
The other thing, you said you don't know what to do about, you know, things happening. Just believe in God, and because we got six angels over us every all day long.
Well, sometimes I wish we had a little bit more than that, Wayne. But thanks for the call. Enjoy your weekend. Let's go to Paul and Memphis, Tennessee. Welcome to the program. Hey, Paul, go ahead.
Hey, George. Hi. Happy Thanksgiving. I'm still feeling stuffed for mine.
Oh, I didn't eat a lot because I'm traveling tomorrow, but it was good.
Okay. I just wanted to say something about the Travis Walton mention that you made.
Okay.
What happened to him was his fault.
Oh, he went running out there, right?
Well, what the deal is most of those things are surrounded by like a heavy-duty glow, right?
Yeah.
That glow is electrostatic charge, which is a byproduct of the drive system. And it changes colors with according to how much power they got thrown into the drive system. So him walking up there close to it, you know, a person walking along the ground is basically a lightning rod. He got too close to that high electrostatic charge, and it leaped over to him like a little lightning bolt and just knocked him flat.
So you think he just should have just stayed far away?
He just got too close, and like I said, a person walking along the ground is a grounded lightning rod, and you know the electrostatic field around the thing discharged into him, and he was essentially struck by lightning.
And his story's compelling.
Whoever was inside saw that and felt sorry for him and tried to do something to help him, probably revived him.
Well, you may be right about that. First-time caller, Justice, is in Houghton, Michigan. Hey, Justice, welcome to the show.
Hey there, George. How are you doing?
Good, Justice. Thank you.
Well, I guess I got 2 points here. My first one is I have tons of compliments for you, but I guess the number one compliment I got is you have an uncanny ability to just roll with whatever people say. And I think it takes a lot of guts to be able to do a live air show like this when you're taking calls from everybody all over the country.
Well, thanks.
I guess my second point is I remember listening about a month and a half ago, and you were taking calls about angel stories, and I thought about calling in that night, but it was busy at work, so I wasn't able to. But I was just wondering if I could share my angel story.
Oh, yeah. I'd love to hear it. And you know what? We're going to do some of that on Christmas. Go ahead.
Yeah, this happened about 3 years ago. I was sleeping in my bed, and most dreams that I have, I kind of equate it to being in a movie. I see it from various different angles as if the cameraman is constantly switching. But this one dream I had, it was different in that it was constantly through my perspective. And I remember looking down and seeing myself laying in my bed, and I felt myself going up. I was completely weightless. I couldn't feel a thing other than this warm hand guiding my hand up. And I remember when I looked up, I couldn't quite see who was holding my hand, but it was a very reassuring person. I took it to be an angel. And as we're going up, I felt myself becoming even more weightless. And all of a sudden we stopped, and it was like the angel was hearing a voice from someone. And she turned to me, was like, oh, it's not your time yet. And then she set me back down in my bed. What was wild about it is I kind of came to in this twilight type state, and I couldn't feel a thing, and it felt like someone had a pitcher of ice water and they were pouring me back into my body, and I could feel it starting in my chest and then going out towards my extremities. And I just thought that wasn't just a regular dream. That seemed like something pretty significant.
Angel stories are the best, aren't they?
Indeed.
I love them. Justice, thanks. Appreciate that. We're going to do a lot of angel stories as we get into Christmas Eve and Christmas night as well. I think I'm going to do some open lines on Christmas Eve with a guest or two for the first hour or so. And then I think we've got Secret Door set up in on Christmas night. Let's go next to Chicago, Illinois. Max is with us on Coast to Coast. Hey, Max, go ahead.
Happy Thanksgiving, sir.
You too, my friend. Thank you.
I want to give thanks to the Coast to Coast to being there for all of us when we need you most.
We always will be. We're not going to walk out on you. That's for sure.
And I want to give my hunch on what's going to happen on January 15th, coinciding with that.
That call, yeah.
That called in, you know, yeah. Here's my take, if you'll have it. Okay. I believe that if you remember, they extended the debt ceiling and the shutdown till January 15th. You remember that?
I do.
When they couldn't conclude it. And I believe what's going to happen is now the Republicans are going to hold firm, and they're not going to extend the debt ceiling, and they're going to shut it down and try to totally defund Obamacare, and it's going to create a concern, and we're not going to be able to borrow any more money from China because we're over there sticking our finger in their face over this conflict,
yeah.
You know, that's been in the news over the last few days. And I think we're going to have a real disruption in the marketplace. And I think that's what's going to create this big event that's going to change things pretty. It's going to be a major event. That's my take. What do you think about that, George?
You might be right on that one, Max. It's interesting timing with the budget ceiling deadline. Again, here we go again. And maybe we need to just throw everybody out and start all over. Let's go to Johnny in Pico Rivera, California. Hi, Johnny. Go ahead.
Well, George, well, thank you for taking my call. I'm going to turn my radio down here.
Okay, sir. Thank you.
You know, when I was in third grade, I saw a UFO when I was living in East LA, California. I just want to let you know, since I found your show, it's absolutely made a big difference in my life. George, I don't know how to thank you, but I'm 37 years old, and I just found out today that my dad is suffering from cancer.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
George, I just downloaded your app on my iPhone. I just spent 10 years in Las Vegas, and for some spiritual reason, I came back home. I just bought a half-acre property, two properties on the lot for my mom and my dad. I moved them out of East L.A. finally. George,
good for you.
God, George, I just wanted to thank you for everything that you're doing for us out here. You know, the whole chemtrail, everything has just really have made sense to me. Do you understand what I'm telling you?
I do.
George, I don't know how everything's coming together here, but, you know, we're Americans. This is the land of the free and the home of the brave. I'm 37 years old, like I told you. And, God, you know, thank you so much for everything that you're doing. I listen to you every single night. I work the night shift now, and for some reason that just all makes sense for me that I'm up this late to be able to listen to your show here on the West Coast. Do you understand that?
I do. And, hey, our prayers to your father, by the way. That's a tough battle, Johnny, but and thanks. Thanks for the compliments. Duly noted, my friend. Let's go to Caleb in Dallas, Texas. Hey, Caleb, thank you for calling. You with us?
I'm just calling, asking about your thoughts on the Denver International Airport conspiracy. Seems to be a lot of murals kind of foreshadowing the end of the world. There's also rumors of maybe an underground bunker for the president under there. I just want to know your thoughts.
That's a strange airport. I go there every month now to tape our television programs. That's where we land. And they've got some weird artwork up there. They've got weird statues. They've got a horse, a huge horse outside of the airport. And I think when the developer and the creator of that horse, while it was being installed, I think the horse fell on him and killed him. That's what I heard. In terms of the bunker, the only thing I've ever heard is that a friend of mine's sister used to work there. And she said that she would see people like go under into a tunnel and not come back as if they were staying there. It was very strange. Now, they do have a very sophisticated terminal system where you get on a train, like a subway train, and, you know, you get to terminal C, B, A, and then the baggage claim terminal as well. Maybe they're doing some of that too, but it's a big airport, but it's a strange airport. Yeah, indeed. Let's go to Jack in Miami. Squeeze you in here, Jack. Go ahead.
Greetings and salutations, Mr. Norrie. Happy Thanksgiving to you, sir.
Thank you. You too.
I wanted to ask you, and various times that you've done various shows on time travel, I hope you don't mind, it's a real quick one. Mm-hmm. What is, because you had Ron Mallett on a while back, am I not correct?
Yes, I just had him on.
Yeah, and a great show, by the way, and you did an excellent job as usual. And by the way, thank you for your service. My point is very quickly, and I know you've got some time. Do you see any correlation within the John Teeter story and him? And I'm sorry to bring it up, but I was just curious.
Well, you know what? The Teeter story is a great story. And it got even stranger for us when we interviewed attorney Larry Haber down in Florida, who was representing the family of John Teeter. And it was a strange case. Haber was being very forthright with us. He was retained by the family, and you know, he interviewed the mother for us. The mother didn't want to come on the show, but we interviewed her through him. He's a legit guy. And that made that whole John Teeter time traveler story strange. And then when you couple it with things that Ron Mallett says he's been working on, it's strange indeed. I believe that time travel will be possible in the future. And there's no reason that these people from the future wouldn't come back during our time period. I think that could happen almost all the time. That wraps up this one. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, George Knapp, John B. Wells, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe.